All right, it is high noon in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Before we get southwest, shout out to Kirk, the Uber driver. Apparently, Fortier got an Uber here, and Kirk was driving him. And when he got in the Uber, he was cranking B. Mitch and Finley.
There you go, Fortier. So, there you go.
Appreciate you, Kirk. And it may or may not be Commander Tequila's birthday. If it is, happy birthday, Commander Tequila.
I don't know if he would know if it is.
I agree. Now, without further ado, let's get down to Dallas and welcome in our boy, Sean Sharif. Sean, what's up, man? You guys have been busy, busy down there.
Now, Brian, when I had you on just a few hours ago, did I blast some stereotypical generic D.C. music or some
Hey, man, you got to talk to your friend Lanfield about that.
Yeah, that was all Mullins.
I don't control music.
I need to come on here with a yeehaw, get off my horse.
I don't do the music, dog.
you're having enough of a hard time down there without coming into Alabama singing the fiddle and the band song.
No. You got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. This is a great thing that's happening. This is the only way that it still may not happen because it's Jerry Jones and his stubbornness wins out. The only possible way that there was going to be a big enough wake-up call for a real culture change, for someone with real credibility to come in here, for it to be bad enough. You give me the option of 12-5 with a second-round playoff exit versus this, I'm taking this. It had to get this ugly. It had to get this embarrassing and humiliating in order to shock Jerry into doing something drastic, and I think we're at this point.
Do you think the roof falling caused him more strain than the team losing?
No, because the roof falling was taken care of in one post-game press conference, and the team getting their teeth kicked in has him getting destroyed every single week for twice a week. He just got off our radio station for the second time this week about 25, 30 minutes ago, and we're just waiting for the next blow-up. You all may have heard about what happened between us on my show and him, and he getting punched in the nuts every damn week. So that is, every week, just getting his jaw stuck out there to get destroyed and mocked. So, no, that's worse.
Wow. I seriously, man, credit to you and your show for not backing down when he clearly – that's a rich, powerful man trying to bully you. And as a journalist, as a radio guy, I was very proud of the way you guys handled all that. Clearly, it's a mess down there. And
yeah.
We've seen it get messy and Jerry just ride it out, and Jason Garrett was employed for whatever, 12 years or whatever. Do you think there's any chance for McCarthy to ride this out?
If they – you talk about ride it out for the rest of the regular season or after this?
After this.
Both, yeah.
If they bring – Mike McCarthy, I believe, survives the year. Jerry has said 15 times, I regret Wade Phillips, I regret this in-season change and firing, blah, blah, blah. If they bring back Mike McCarthy, we'll have a January 6th version of AT&T Stadium that y'all had. That's what we'll – there'll be an insurrection at Cowboys Stadium if they bring Mike McCarthy back. I'll say there's a 1% chance, just because Jerry Jones is so stubborn, and it would just be because of Jerry's ego. Less than 1% chance, but I won't say absolutely nothing because everyone thought – Mike was getting run after the Packer game. Everyone thought this was done and over with. But there's some people who think that Jerry is so frugal, which would shock many, that Mike or so petty, he was not going to pay Mike to go sit on a beach. No, you're under contract. You're going to work. I'm not going to pay two coaches.
We're talking with Sean Sharif here from Sean and RJ, weekdays 5:30 to 10 a.m., 105.3 The Fan, down in Dallas. Does a hell of a job. You can follow him at 105.3SS. Of course, many years ago, worked here in D.C., went to AU, understands both markets really, really well. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something there that, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like this was a real tipping point for Jerry when he gets pushed on this, and I think you guys did it. The frugality. The Cowboys don't necessarily spend to the cap. They don't go cash to cap. Is that a real issue down there that just isn't talked about?
Look, man, we know how messy the salary cap is, right? Like, there's some
sure,
people who think the salary cap is real and then not real. It's difficult. So Stephen Jones took over the philosophy here of we're going to draft and develop. all right, which is, you know, the Baltimore Ravens. And I grew up being a Redskin fan, and I love that. My favorite thing was to go on Madden and put together the all-star teams that Dan Snyder had recruited. We all know how it worked out, right? And draft and develop is a smart thing, but you got to tinker, right? You got to add Marshawn Lattimore. You got to add some missing pieces that put you over the top. I do find it hard to call them a cheap, frugal football team when you're going to pay out the top of market salaries to three guys. Can you really call them cheap if you give Dak 60 and you give Lamb 33 or 35? And they're going to give Micah 35 as well. So they're not cheap. It's just the allocation of the spending, the timing of the spending, the waiting to cost yourself a little bit more when you could have signed it a year prior. That's what fans are really, really ticked off about, and they just refuse to budge whatsoever. The Cowboys are like they're like a fifth grader that got dumped by a girl, and they just don't believe that like you should ever date again the rest of your entire life. Like, there are people here that still believe the Brandon Carr contract scarred them so much because you gave Brandon Carr $50 million and it didn't work out. We just should not take that big of a swing and miss again. And that started the offseason anger and disgust from the fan base. Jerry's all-in statement that was delivered horribly, got interpreted, I think misinterpreted by us in the media. It took us this long to figure out what he actually meant, but this thing has been an absolute disaster that everyone saw coming from the offseason, starting with All In.
Sean, we talked earlier when I was on your show about the possibility of Bill Belichick coming there.
Yeah.
And we hear all this stuff from Michael Irvin, who say he knows from a source that Deion may come there. As long as they draft his son. Well, the source is Deion, I would have to say. That's the only person who knows that.
Seems like a pretty safe
guess. Do you think there's any possibility that can happen?
So I think that here are the couple of issues. The Belichick thing, there's two things. Number one, I think it would cause Will McClay to leave. Will McClay is beloved
around here,
the scouting director, right? He's the one who really picks the players. Like Jerry Jones didn't know who the freak Mingo was in Carolina. Jerry Jones is not going to the room and saying, trade a fourth rounder for that receiver. We liked him in the second and third round in the draft a couple of years ago. He doesn't know who Jonathan Mingo is. Will McClay picks the players, and Stephen Jones puts together the money, and Jerry has, you know, the final say, let me placate you, here you go, sign off on it. So there's a thought that Stephen Jones and Will McClay like would lose their roles if Bill Belichick came in, right? Brian, you said it earlier this morning, you know, control and personnel. Now, could you marriage it where Will McClay, because they said Belichick was fine with giving up player personnel control in Atlanta when he wanted that Falcon job. I don't know how it would have worked in D.C. when the rumors were there with you all, but could you have Will McClay and Steven deal with the players, the money, and Belichick stay away from personnel? That, to me, is the dream scenario. But if Bill really wants total control, then Will McClay and Stephen Jones are going to be out of a job or their roles, and is Jerry Jones really going to kick his son to the curb? Probably not. The other problem with Bill, my two co-hosts believe this, I don't even know, as bad as Jerry has been recently, I don't even know if I can accept this. They believe that Jerry Jones would not hire a head coach that would take the spotlight from him. That would get in the
way. I believe that. He fired one that won him some Super Bowls.
I know, but now he did bring in Parcells. Away. But he brought Parcells in. But he had to. That's why I told you to start this segment. I'm not miserable because to me, this is Parcells 2.0. Jerry brought in Parcells to build that stadium for a draw, right? We knew that he wasn't thrilled working with Bill's control and Bill controlling everything, right? And Bill controlling press conferences and getting attention and everything. But Jerry needed it for the stadium. And I think Jerry needs something right now to salvage this fan base. And when the games end, and JP, you would probably know this covering it, you know, in the press room, four people the other day were in McCarthy's presser.
Wow.
And everyone else is outside. Like, Jerry doesn't even wait for McCarthy to do the presser before talking. Like, the pressers are taking place at the same time. And everyone's outside in the hallway. They're outside in the hallway with Jerry, and four people are in there with the head coach. Now, does that happen with Deion Sanders? My guys believe that Deion would become the face of the Dallas Cowboys and not Jerry Jones, and that would stop them. That would stop Jerry from hiring Deion. You also have Diana Rossini, and our Cowboys insider saying not a one person has really brought up Deion Sanders as a serious name. Jerry was just asked about it on our station about 35 minutes ago, and I think he said, I was just reading Twitter, you know, Deion's recruiting plays a major role in college. So it sounded like he was distancing himself from a tiny bit. I have to go back and listen. But I would think Belichick would be more of a possibility right now than Deion.
Talking with Sean Sharif. No, I think, dude, I don't know if you watched this. I was trying to do a reset, but who cares? Everybody knows who you are. I think if you listened, and you probably were watching the game, so you weren't going to do this.
Oh, and by the way, JP, let me just stick this in real quick. I think the most likely thing to happen is Mike Vrabel. I may as well just throw in my own opinion. I think that's a really good hire. I think you have the hard-ass culture guy that you would want in a this team is dumb. This team is undisciplined. This team is sensitive. This team is whiny. This team is delusional. All of these things have been happening here for years. Now, with Vrabel, to me, you get the hard-ass culture guy with more of a personality than Belichick. You also get someone who doesn't need personnel control and someone who doesn't take the spotlight from Jerry like Deion and the credit, right? He would get more credit. If you hire Bill Belichick, how much credit does Jerry Jones really get? That's why I wanted Garrett to work. Like, that's why that was his hand-chosen guy. That's why there's this Jason Witten minor talk around here. That would be, like, his next Jason Garrett. But my prediction for it is Mike Vrabel.
That's a really good one. I think Vrabel's very good at coaching, too, which might just be what Dallas needs. Talking with Sean Sharif here. Give him a follow at 105.3 SS. Check out the Sean and RJ weekdays, mornings down in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan. It's almost secondary. I mean, hell, it's not almost secondary. It's definitely secondary, but there is a game this weekend. Washington needs it bad. They're coming off back-to-back losses for the first time in kind of the DQ tenure. I was texting with some folks I know down there that perhaps there was no love lost between Joe Witt and Mike McCarthy. I think there's going to be, you know, Dan Quinn came up here, Witt came up here, Armstrong, Fowler, Noah Igg, Tyler Biadasz.
Got a lot of people.
I think there's going to be some real excited players to see that star on the other side this weekend. What are you expecting? And is Dallas at this point in the turmoil and everything else going on, are they really even up for a fist fight at this point?
Oh, the Cowboys are not up for a fist fight at full capacity. The San Francisco 49ers, the 49ers proved that. Like, they're the Cowboys' daddy. We all know that. They punked this team. They gave them wedgies and dunked their heads in the school toilets year after year after year. They proved the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are bullies. That's what they are. When Washington has been terrible, the Cowboys beat up on the sorry ass NFC East. And then when Debo comes around the corner, literally, figuratively, then they cower in fear and they fold up like a tent. Now, the big question to me about this game, and I don't think the Cowboys are going to win, could they keep it like Houston close, like early on? Yeah, possibly. But, you know, I would always bet the Commanders and the points. The question we're all asking is, like, was Washington like a little overhyped? Like, is Jaden Daniels like coming back to earth a little bit? That's the only way that the game could be in any way close. Like, the Cowboys, Washington, the Commanders would have to not play well. The Cowboys aren't going to do anything to be like, whoa, this is impressive. As long as you double Lamb and you limit him, it's a wrap. It's done and over with. As long as you don't allow Rico Dowdle to get off, even though I know y'all's run defense is a little bit of a question, they're not going to have Jake Ferguson, probably with the concussion. Like, you guys are going to have to beat yourselves in order for this thing to be close or for the Cowboys to win.
So offensive output from Washington and the game's over.
Yes. Done and over with. Mike McCarthy, by the way, I'm not going to let Mike McCarthy off the hook either. Mike McCarthy has somehow gotten a different rule book to where, like, he doesn't think you have to get, like, 10 yards for a first down. Like, you're going to see this team throw 5 to 6 yards short of the first down markers. You're going to see 2 reverses to CeeDee Lamb. You're going to see CeeDee Lamb force-fed. You're going to see no running game, and you're not going to see any other receivers. The only thing you need to worry about offensively, and I'm not even talking about really offense, is someone who can score points, is Turpin. That's it. You got Lamb, oh,
yeah.
Turpin.
Yeah, he's explosive.
You got Lamb, Turpin on special teams. You know, he caught a slant for a touchdown last week and nothing else. The Dallas Cowboys offense is broken. Mike McCarthy, he's done as dismal of a job these past few weeks as Cooper Rush. Like, McCarthy's just getting absolutely destroyed here for a lack of creativity with any type of game plan or getting anyone else involved. It's CeeDee Lamb, 4-speed or nothing.
Well, let me ask you a question. How do they feel about you in Dallas?
Yeah, that is a good question.
Because, I mean, no, all you're doing is like what we did the past. You tell the truth. But they probably don't like that from a guy that came from the D.C. area.
That's a really good question. I think the biggest mistake I made in my career here was I was still, before Snyder sucked all my fandom out of me, I was still rooting for Washington on the radio here, and after wow. the RG3 debut, I played Hail to the Redskins to Jerry when he came on, and that
For
was
real?
A really stupid career choice by me, really stupid career decision. But, you know, in years past, B. Mitch, talking like this and this harsh, you would have a lot of diehards pissed off at you because you were still winning 12 games, right? Like, the Dallas, make no mistake about it, the Cowboys have had excellent regular seasons the past 3 years. They're just not anywhere close to a Super Bowl team. This year, and y'all, I can't stress this enough, everyone is united in now rooting against them. They want the Cowboys to lose in such embarrassing fashion. You know why? Because they want it to pain Jerry. They want it to harm Jerry emotionally. There's such a venom and an anger. That's why I asked B. Mitch this morning, like, is this Snyder territory? And I actually think Washington fans were not rooting for the team to lose this much to hurt Snyder like Cowboy fans are right now because of the arrogance around here, because of the stubbornness, because of the arrogance. So if I talk like this in the years past when they were winning 12 games and fans had real hope, people would be mad at me. Everyone feels the exact same way of everything I'm saying right now. It's all of us. It's all of us against the team.
That's crazy, man. That, I mean, just for a team that's been so good
revolt.
The last few
Honest
years.
God,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a revolt. Like, people, Micah Parsons got booed the other night. Micah Parsons, like, maybe the next Lawrence Taylor, right? Your generational player. Micah Parsons got booed the other night on the big screen during Tyson Paul. CeeDee Lamb,
wow.
right? All-world wide receiver. People are fed up and sick of CeeDee Lamb's body language, the pouting.
Dude, nobody shows up their quarterback like that, dude.
you know what I'm saying? Like, don't even get me started on Dak. Trayvon Diggs, he already fought with a reporter here about tackling. These guys,
he hit him with these nuts. That was hysterical.
You know what the Dallas Cowboys don't know? This is a lesson I have for my parents, and I'm going to teach my kids. When you're losing and you're humiliating, you're getting humiliated and embarrassed, just shut up. Like,
there
don't talk. Be quiet.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth. Well, you know what happens around here? We got Micah Parsons' podcast the next day. We got Trayvon Diggs. We got Trayvon Diggs co-hosting. We got Jerry Jones twice a week. We got Stephen Jones twice a week. There is no, like, just put your head down, your tail between your legs around here. You got Mike and Diggs coming out saying, we are a damn good football team. You think that makes fans happy? That makes fans even more pissed off and
that's
furious.
Them trying to transfer that blame to the coach and not the players.
Oh, that we're, yeah, like we have a good enough team, we're just not being coached right?
Yeah, totally.
That's wild,
yeah.
man. Dude, Sean, thank you, man. Appreciate you making time. I know you're busy as hell.
I can tell you where you can get that vest at, because you keep talking about them people down there. You're going to need one. I'm going to come help my boy out.
Hey, I learned it from someone else sitting in that studio.
JP, you got to stop teaching Sean stuff, man.
Yeah, anybody.
I'll come back there and get y'all's coffee when they run me out of here.
It's not going to happen.
I'll come back and play the cowboy music, all right?
Sean, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
All right, man.
Sean Sharif, give him a follow at 105.3 SS. He is not messing around.